An infantryman with nearly three decades' experience is leading the Army's cyber warriors. Command Sergeant Major Rodney Harris became the senior enlisted advisor at Army Cyber Command in August. In our DoD report brought to you by CenturyLink, Harris speaks with Federal News Radio's DoD reporter Jared Serbu.
CyberCom in total has put together about 133 different types of teams, all in the defense of the network. The Army's piece of that is about 41 of those teams, which we have spread across a different skill set of activities that take place, all built towards defending the Army's network.
And would you point us towards some of the areas in which you think you're really doing well in terms of recruiting, retaining, and training these folks, and some of the areas where you might be challenged at the moment?
Yeah, well, I tell you, what we're doing well is we're finding the right soldiers that want to do this. To be a cyber warrior, it takes a special type of soldier. To begin with, it takes a soldier. When I say that, I mean the same soldier that everyone else is looking for in the Army today. The one that has the character and the values that that we as an Army hold important and dear to who we are, to maintain the trust of the American people. That's who we're looking for first. And then we look for some of those soldiers who have the cognitive capacity to understand and grasp the concepts that are important to be able to perform the duties that we're asking them to do. So we've actually had quite a few now that are coming up that are in-service recruits that have skills that not just signal guys, not just MI guys, but we have folks that are some infantrymen, some armor folks that are in the Army that have grown up with these skills as hobbies that we found can be very beneficial to our team. And we're bringing them on. And, you know, we're excited about the opportunity that has presented itself for our soldiers to see a new way to serve the country.
And as you onboard these soldiers, to what extent do they come to you with prior knowledge and prior experience, and how much do they gain in training once they're already in the Army?
Well, you know, we, just like any other organization in the Army, we have different jobs, different skill sets that require different abilities. And, you know, with our national mission teams and our combat mission teams, they have a skill set that we can bring soldiers in generally. Just off the street, recruits, we give them an assessment during their AIT, and then if they score well enough on their assessment, then we'll send them to the schools that are required to get them trained. For the cyber protection teams, where we're actively defending the Army's network daily, we generally are trying to bring in soldiers that have had at least 4 years of experience operating the Army's network in order to be able to have the concepts, the baseline concepts that they require. So we have a little bit more mature force over in the cyber protection teams, and they're actually a little bit behind in the development right now. But in the end, they're going to be generally starting off at the senior sergeant, staff sergeant level, where they'll come in and be able to pick up the concepts that we're trying to teach them and integrate into a team probably with the least amount of resistance.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you talk about having folks in uniform do cyber-type work, the conversation always goes back to the idea that you're probably not going to be able to pay these folks what they could potentially be earning on the outside. What's the Army's answer to that challenge, if it is a challenge?
Well, you know, I tell you, a lot of folks, we really don't know right now exactly how much of a challenge it's going to be. And that's because, you know, our 35 Quebec MOS is only 2 years old right now. And most of the folks that are in there right now, we transitioned from within the Army. So we won't know for a few more years exactly how many are going to leave the force to go into industry. But I would tell you, I talked to a sergeant first class just the other day who was down doing his job, and he's having to make the decision right now whether he can, whether he's going to retire or whether he's going to go to work for industry. And I asked him, what's it going to take to keep you? And he said, Sergeant Major, what I like is being able to do this job. And he said, there's very few other places where I can do this job the way that we're being allowed to do it, with the same sense of accomplishment and the same sense of importance behind it. So he said, it's not about the pay for me. It's about being able to provide a service that's defending the nation in a manner that I can't do anywhere else in industry. You could talk to another type of soldier that are in our protection teams. It'll tell you that, you know, we're being trained to operate inside a network, inside the Army's network, inside the joint information environment. And industry really wants those kind of folks that are really good at operating within a closed network so that, you know, they're within the laws of our nation and our international laws, and they know how to not violate those procedures, and they can still do that and protect their own defenses. Those are the people that our industry are really looking after right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think really hard about those folks who are going to be our 25 Deltas that we're training to be able to do that skilled mission set. But I think the Army understands exactly how important these soldiers are, exactly how hard it is to get them qualified. It takes, you know, generally 2 to 3 years of solid training before we can get one soldier fully qualified and ready to perform their duties on these teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a significant investment. And at the end of the day, that investment's got to pay off for the Army, because every dollar we spend is a dollar that we have to invest wisely to make sure that we're applying it towards the defenses that we require.
And to that point, obviously the Army, as the drawdown proceeds, is having to make a lot of really painful choices to let soldiers go who you'd really prefer to keep. In the cyber MOSs, it sounds like that's an exception. You are not going through, retention selection boards and getting rid of any of these forces right now.
No. One of the challenges that we have is we have to help the Army understand the new aspects that cyber soldiers bring to the fight. We have to look at cyber soldiers a little bit differently. So the Army has some programs that say if you stay in the same place for, 4 to 5 years and you don't get promoted, then we're probably going to look at you for promotion stagnation and maybe separate you from the Army. And initially, that's what's happened. We've thrown some of our soldiers, because we require them to stay in the same place for 5 to 10 years to be really effective. We need them to stay there. And at the same time, there's only a certain amount of growth that we're going to be able to grow within a set team.
Right.
And then we're going to help them figure out ways to advance past E8 and E9. But at the initial onset, we're exactly opposite of what the Army thinks is right. In terms of a cyber soldier, it's 100% right. We need to have them in place for 5 to 10 years, and we need them to be able to understand that they're only going to go from, maybe E1 to E7 in that period of time, and then we'll have to let them move on to a different organization or a different type of field that's still working in support of the Army cyber mission, but gives them the opportunity for growth. So the Army's got to look at that a little bit differently, and they know that now. The Army staff is heavily involved. Our Resources Command are looking hard at what we're doing with our cyber soldiers to make sure that we're doing the right things to take care of the investment we've put in them.
Yeah. There's a saying in local politics sometimes that there's no Republican or Democratic way to pick up the trash or provide services. And I still have trouble wrapping my mind around, what's the Army way to do cyber? What's the Air Force way to do cyber? I mean, what do you bring to the fight that your sister services maybe don't? I mean, are there distinctions among the services?
Yeah, well, I would tell you there's absolutely distinctions among the services. But what you have to remember is, just like in any other full-spectrum operation, just like in any other domain of war, cyber is a team sport. The Navy brings something distinct and special in terms of their capabilities, just like the Air Force does in the air. Just like we do on the land. And it takes a team. It takes a team to put together to be able to bring all those assets and all those capabilities together to bear onto one objective, to bring the effects that we want, just like we do in any other domain of war.
That's Rodney Harris, Command Sergeant Major at U.S. Army Cyber Command.